Hof Beis Tavis, 20th of January, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, The Hardening of Pharaoh's Heart.
Topic that I wanted to speak about just for a few moments this morning is something which begins with this parsha and of course will continue for the parshas to come. The idea of hardening Pharaoh's heart, which is a key idea, a key element within Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'anochi akshe eslev Paro. And according to some Mefarshim, actually, Rabbi Chiel Heller in his Pirush to the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that's the Yod Chazaka. We always say, Hashem took us up, Yod Chazaka was running to you. No one really knows what Yod Chazaka is, or is running to you. And they go together, but so they keep each other company. But Mefarshim open up these two ideas, Yod Chazaka and Zoron Netuya, and according to Rabbi Chiel Heller and others, the Yod Chazaka is the hardening of Paro's heart. That's the strong hand. Not even allowing him to say yes. And this leads us to a major question dealt by with Rishonim as to how exactly Paro could be punished. After all, Scharva Onesh means if you do the right thing, you get schar for doing the right thing, and if you do the wrong thing, you get onus for doing the wrong thing. But if you don't have the option of doing the right thing, so then how can you be punished for doing the wrong thing? If Paro can't say yes, why is he punished for saying no? And as we know, the Rambam has dealt with this. The Rambam says actually an enormous chiddush, which drew a lot of responses from later Mefarshim. Rambam says that all of this was the onesh of Paro, including the hardening of his heart. He was already chayav for all of that onesh before all of this began. Which means it's not so much that he was punished for saying no. Saying no was part of the punishment, not being able to say yes. That's the famous shita of the Rambam in Hilchos Truvah, who says that it's possible for a person to reach a stage where they actually are not able to say yes anymore, to say the right thing anymore. Ramban, based on the Medrash, explains that it's midah keneged midah. The first five makos, he hardened his heart. The second five, Hashem hardened his heart, which is still actually, that means that the hardening of his heart was an onish, just an onish for him doing it himself the first time. And the Sforno tells us that actually, its own chiddush, that by hardening his heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't taking away his bechira, but restoring his bechira, giving him the fortitude to be able to withstand the makos and make the right decision for the right reasons, which in the end he didn't. But the approach that I would like to take this morning, which I think is very profound, gives a lot of room for thought, is from the Sefer Maasei Hashem. In the Maasei Hashem, Rabbi Elezer Ashkenazi, who's one of the early Acharonim, has a certain approach, and as we'll see, it can actually find basis within Rishonim, but we'll begin with the Acharonim. So the Maasei Hashem states that when we think about the hardening of Paro's heart, so the picture that comes to mind, perhaps, is that we're talking for someone who it's impossible for him on any level to do the right thing. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached into his heart and switched it from on to off. And from this point on, his decision-making faculties are completely suspended. So the Maasei Hashem, it seems that the hardening of Paro's heart, what we call, perhaps is a much more natural process. Because the truth of the matter is that very often people are in a situation where we would say they have no choice. Which is interesting, because we believe that everyone has a choice. But don't we use that expression, you've left me no choice but to, or I had no other option rather than to? If a person is sitting there and someone else is insulting him repeatedly, they can force him to leave the room. If he's publicly shamed or embarrassed, he'll be forced to leave. Now, of course, he can stay. He can decide to stay and receive more abuse if he wants. But no one will. So you forced him in a sense, which sounds supernatural. I mean, you have hardened his heart. You've left him with no choice. Some people find it impossible to admit to a mistake, or that they don't know something. It's impossible. Now, they can choose to admit, but Midas being what they are, Gaiva being what it is, they can't. It's not an option for them. And therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, the hardening of Paro's heart was very simply the manipulation of his midos. As if to say, if the average person will find it hard to admit that he's made a mistake, because everyone is a Gaiva, so probably the emperor of Egypt has an also Gaiva aspect within him. Probably the size of his empire. And therefore for him to admit that he made a mistake, it's practically impossible, although he has full Bechira. And in fact, if we look at the first meeting between Moshe and Paro, Moshe and Aaron and Paro, which takes place in this week's Parsha, we see that it goes badly for us. Tichmat HaVoda, it only gets worse. And so much so that Moshe comes at the end of the Parsha right, with pain and complains, Lam Hariyosa Lamazeh. Lamazeh Shlechtani, why did you send me? We've gone backwards. Meos Basi El Paro Ledaber Bishmecha, Heira Lamazeh. From the time I came, he's only done bad things. V'hatzelo itzalt esamecha. You haven't even begun to save. So what's the answer? Final pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atotire. Now you'll see. Eis Hashem lepar. Yeah, now you'll see what I'll do. Ki v'yod chazakai yishachem, u'v'yod chazakai yigashem me'atzu. So if we could just review the Shaklevataria here. Moshe says, why did the first meeting go badly? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, now you'll see, everything will go well. So, the yekkers amongst us will appreciate that it doesn't sound like he's answered the question. Because the question was, why did things go badly so far? The answer to that can't be, well, now they'll be okay. Because the question was yet, is but why did they go badly at the beginning? The answer must be, that they will go well from this point onwards because they went badly in the beginning. And the reason why is because now that Paro has won the first round,
yes.
So he's done. He will never back down now because he has already formed his impression. He will win. He is stronger than Moshe, whoever Moshe represents. To make him change his mind is the equivalent of a miracle. And it will practically never happen. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ata tire, now you will see. Setup is complete. Now you will see. Because of what has happened already, Kiva Yod Chazaka. Yod Chazaka comes in now. His heart has been hardened. Because Paro feels that he's won. And now you're going to have to make him change his mind. He'll never change his mind. And that's the hardening of Paro's heart. And the truth is, that even as we move to the next meeting between Moshe, Aaron, and Paro with the staff, right, Nulachem Os, and Aaron throws his staff down and it turns into a snake or a crocodile, Tanin, and Paro does the same thing, and then he calls his Chartumim, and the Medrash says he called his wife and his children, and they all did the same thing. Now it's true, in the end, Aaron's mate ate all the others. Yes. But I think we'll appreciate, as Rabbi Cheska Levenstein points out, it's a victory, but it's not a geschmack victory. It's not a knockout victory. It's a points victory. In the beginning, it sounded like they were matching Aaron. And in the end, he tried. That's the hardening of Paro's heart. It's a further embedding the notion that he's as good as Moshe. You saw what happened? He turned his staff into a snake. So can we. I wear your staffs now. Paro, that's small print for Paro. Paro doesn't stick around for the follow-up. And all of this is a hardening of Paro's heart. And the truth of the matter is, if one goes through the Parsha with Rishonim and Acharonim, you see that every Makkah had within it some aspect that didn't entirely check out in terms of the way that it was meant to be. And the fixation of Paro is to latch onto that, as if to say, you see, right, they said it would be such and such. And really it wasn't. Until Makkas Bechoros, where they're looking at the stopwatch for Chatzos, and if it will be just a minute before or afterwards, that's the nth degree of the hardening of Paro's heart. Because he can never back down from the original impression. And the truth of the matter is, people do this. Sometimes people get involved in something and they're successful early and then they begin to fail and they can't realize that things have changed because they stick by the winning in the beginning. Interestingly, the Aruch Laner in his drushes in Parsha Shmini quotes from his father a very similar idea with regards to the hardening of Paro's heart. And we're beginning to understand that it really isn't so supernatural at all. People can harden each other's hearts. Advertising hardens people's hearts. It manipulates them and leaves them with no choice. The most heartless and merciless of the psychology takes place in the engine room of an advertising agency. And then they're looking to push people's buttons, belaz. And a very similar idea from the Aruch Laner. The hardening of Paro's heart. When Moshe and Aaron first come in this week's Parsha to Paro, they tell him, the first thing they warn him about is Makkas Bechoros. B'ni Bechor Yisrael, Vatame'en L'shalcho, Hiner Nuchi Aregis, Bincha Bechorecha. I'll kill your Bechor. And all the Forshim ask, I mean, that's not going to happen for a while. Why are you talking about that now? Sof Maaseh B'machshav Atchila. Why are you mentioning that now? And says the Aruch Laner, that's hardening Paro's heart. Why? Because Makkas Bechoros was the worst of the Makkas. That's why it happened last. And they were warned about it or threatened about it first. And now, says Paro, as he goes through each of the Makkos, and they're getting worse and worse, and the question is, well, can't you see that what they're saying is true and you should let them go? And Paro says, no. You know why? Because he originally threatened to kill my firstborn. Why hasn't he done that? Apparently he can't make good on his threat. And even though he's doing all these other things, and the irony is, the reason why Paro thinks that is because that's what Paro would do. In other words, there's no notion that you could inflict more damage, but you choose less to give them a chance, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. But Paro sees in the situation what he would do. And the Havdil, so do his descendants, even in our time. Whatever damage you can do, you will. If you don't do that damage, there are two possibilities, either compassion or weakness. And there is no compassion. And therefore the irony is that Paro saw within the situation what he would do. If he could kill the firstborn, he definitely would. So why hasn't he done it? Because he can't. So I'm stronger. And therefore, what you see that Hatzad HaShavah Shebahen is that the approach is really a question of manipulating Paro. And by warning him about Makkas Bechoros and then not doing it, you've basically hardened his heart. And as we mentioned, this is discussed at length in the Maisei Hashem, but one can adduce support for this from earlier Makoros, from Rishonim. The Drosh HaZaran, who discusses the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, and that's the last time we hear about the hardening of Paro's heart, where Bnei Yisrael have left, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, tell Bnei Yisrael, Daber Bnei Yisrael v'yoshuvu, they've got to go back, they've got to backtrack. V'yachanu lefnei piachiros. They have to go back and make like they're lost. Omar Paro Livnei Yisrael Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz. So that Paro will say Livnei Yisrael about Yisrael, they're lost. Nevuchim means lost. The word Nevuchim is commonly translated as the guide for the perplexed. Nevuchim does not mean perplexed. It means lost. It means confused. I think if they translated it that way, no one would buy it, because no one would like admit to being confused or lost. It's fashionable to be perplexed. But Nevuchim heim ba'aretz. And then the next pasuk says, "V'chizakti yaslei paro." A hardened paro's heart. That's the last time we hear about this. "V'chizak Hashem yaslei paro." "V'chizakti yaslei paro." So now let's ask a Balabatish a question. If in any case you're going to harden Paro's heart and make him go out and chase after Bnei Yisrael, so why are you troubling Bnei Yisrael to go back and make like they're lost? I mean, it sounds unnecessary now. It's a Malach Hashem Yitzricha Legufa. As if to say, in any case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, is going to harden Paro's heart. If you harden his heart, you'll make him go out and follow them. So why are you troubling them? Let them stay where they are. Harden his heart. And we'll find it. Tarti Lomali. And the Ran in the Drosha says that it's Hainu Hach. When Hashem says, make them go back, and Paro will think they're lost, and I will harden his heart, it's the same thing. That's how I'll harden his heart. In other words, Paro is still smarting from the wound of Bnei Yisrael getting the better of him, as any inkling that they're actually lost will once again go back to Paro saying, I told you, you see, they're lost, and I was right, because I'm Paro, and I'm always right. And that's pshat. That's how these two things go together. Make them backtrack, feel like they lost, v'chizakti, because that's how v'chizakti, but that's really a chizuk for the Maisei Hashem, that v'chizakti yaslei paro is not a supernatural thing, it's very simply a manipulation of paro's midos. And moreover, there is another example of this, and a similar explanation, and it's found in the Sefer Ikrim. The Sefer Ikrim of Rabbi Yosef Albo. And he draws our attention to another case of Hashem hardening someone's heart. I think for the casual reader, we're only aware of one instance in the Chumash where Hashem hardened someone's heart. But actually, there were two. Paro, of course, gets most of the attention. But there's another case, and that's the case of Sichon. Now, the hardening of Sichon's heart refers to the fact that he left his town and left a city, fortified city, came out to meet Bnei Yisrael and was defeated by them. Now, what's that got to do with hardening his heart? If you look in Parshas Chukas, which is where the battle took place, it doesn't say Hashem hardened his heart. But if you look in Parshas Devarim, which goes back over the events, at that point it says, and Sichon did not let you through. They sent a nice message, we'd like to go through. Velo ava Sichon, and Sichon wasn't interested, and he came out to meet you. Why? Ki chizek Hashem es rucho, ve'imeitz es levavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his spirit, strengthened his heart. Chizuk leiv. Sichon had bad mazel that he's in the Chumash Devarim, so no one talks about him. It's mamish the same thing. And why does he need his heart to be hardened? Because if he stays in his city, it's fortified, as Rashi says, mosquitoes in his city. You couldn't be overcome. And the fortifications are so great. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused him to part from his city and to come out. How? Through hardening his heart. But how did that work? Says the Ikrim, Chiddush. In Parshas Chukas, there are a couple of delegations that take place. Moshe sends two people in Canaan. They're beginning to kind of find a point of entry. The first place that he sends to is Melech Edom. Navarna ba'artzecha, lo nevo yaminu smol, we'd like to go through, we'll pay for whatever we take, we come in peace. And Edom sends a message and says, oh, no, I'm not going to let you in. Pen b'cher v'tzei l'krosecha. Pen b'cher v'tzei l'krosecha. Interestingly, the Vilna Gaon, as I'm sure you know, famous from Parshas Toldos, and Chayesara, explains that the difference between pen and ulai, which are two ways of saying maybe, the Jewish people have invented more since, but pen and ulai is that ulai is you hope something will happen, and pen is you hope something won't happen. That's why Eliezer says, ulai lo solecha lo soveha isha lelecha sachara. He hopes she won't, because he has his own shidduch for Yitzhak. And that breeds many questions and a whole maso matam. So Melech Edom says, lo tavurbi, I don't want you coming by my way, pen b'cher v'tzedek rasecha, because maybe, I don't want this to happen, but maybe I'll come out to meet you with a sword. Except why does he say pen if he doesn't want it to happen? Why doesn't he want it to happen? And if he doesn't want it to happen, so why will it happen? Reb Shmuel David Volkin, Zatzal, explains, al charbe batichye means, this is the instinct of Edom. Even if he knows that it's bad for him and he doesn't want it to happen, in a moment of honesty, he says, I'll probably do it anyway. Pen b'cherb, I don't want to do it, but I will. And even if it's not good for me, because that's me, al charbe batichye. So how do Bnei Yisrael respond to this? They back away. As Parshas Chukas, right? They move back. They don't start up, and they try another point. So, says the Sefer Yikrim, you have two neighbors in that region, Edom and Sichon. And Sichon is stronger than Edom. And Sichon sees that Bnei Yisrael were not prepared to go to war with Edom. And Sichon concludes, there is only one reason in the world that a nation would not go to war with another nation to get what they want, and that is because they can't. Because they're not strong enough. And therefore, Sichon does the arithmetic, and that is Edom is stronger than Yisrael, and Sichon is stronger than Edom, equals C is more than A. Sichon is stronger than Yisrael, and went out to meet them, full of confidence, to his defeat. And the point of the Ikrim is that's what it means when it says Hashem hardened his heart. How did Hashem harden Sichon's heart? He hardened his heart by having Bnei Yisrael not confront Edom, allowing Sichon to draw the necessary conclusions. Except the question is, well, who told you to draw those conclusions? Who told you that the reason that they're not going to war is because they're not strong enough? Maybe they would like to avoid war. Well, try telling that to Sichon. Sichon doesn't think that way. There's no such thing as avoiding war. You get what you want, if you can. And if you don't, it's because you can't. And therefore he was led to that conclusion, even though he can do what he wants. And therefore we see from these two Rishonim, the Drosh HaSaran, with regards to Kriyas Yamsu, the Chisaptias Leparo, the Ikrim with regards to Sichon, ample, I think, Kar Mirchav, as a basis for Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, because they're all really saying the same thing. And the upshot of this is that when we come back to the original question, which is, if you hardened his heart, so how can you punish him? He had no choice. Well, says the Maisi Hashem, it depends what you mean by hardening his heart. If you say that you mamish overrode his decision-making faculties, and he mamish was impossible for him to make the right decision, that's one thing. But that's not what happened here. Rather, you manipulated his midas. If most people ask for a rerun because their midas have been manipulated, the world as we know it would end. Because you can't say, I'd like to take back that acquisition. I only did it to further my reputation, or because someone dared me to, or because someone threatened me with. Everyone has their midos. They can always make the right decision. And therefore, Paro cannot say, you cannot blame me for not letting Bnei Yisrael go. I have a terrible gaiva issue, and therefore I'm absolved of all consequences of my wrong decisions. That's a different discussion now. So that question, in a sense, almost dissolves in that way. If you have corrupt middos, you need to take account for that. So on the one hand, that's a very interesting approach to that idea. But on the other hand, what's amazing after all this is that it's called Hashem hardened his heart. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, for all the quote-unquote natural process that we're talking about, it is a very interesting thing to consider. That Hashem says he is basically has no choice. Because that shows us the power of how people can be guided by their middos unless they do something about it. If they decide not to, he is as good as deactivated. He is as good as has no free will, even though he in principle does. And I think that's certainly something to take away from the parsha. Very often when we look at people like Paro and Bilam and Esav, all the villains, all the Rishayim in the Chumash, we have no shaykhus to them. We don't feel that we have anything in common with them. They're there either for just make us feel better, or maybe for our entertainment, Bilam especially. And yet the more we look into them, the more we see that everyone in the Chumash is there to learn from. Because the idea that which seems so remote to us, that Paro's heart was hardened, but the more we look into it in this way, the more we perhaps look around us, and perhaps inwards and outwards, that the idea of hardening someone's heart can perhaps account for a great deal of decisions that people make, and that's already a Musar Haskel, and perhaps beckons us to restore the concept of Bechira to its full potency and full strength, without ever saying that we never had a choice because of the various middos that guide us. We always have a choice, mitzvah Shem, Rishim Zokah, to restore that and to make all the right choices. Michael, Chayav, we should meet on Torah occasion.